Joining us now on the Buyer's Barricade Ticket Hotline in the wake of the Last Dance documentary, which just wrapped up on ESPN over the weekend, we thought we'd get some more insight into Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand. Joining us is someone who's been with Nike for more than 40 years. He's had a long relationship with Michael Jordan. He's currently the vice president of sports marketing for the Jordan brand. We say good morning to Howard White. Hi, Howard.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are we this morning?
We're doing great. Thanks a lot for the time. And first up, I just wondered what you thought of The Last Dance, all 10 episodes. How'd you think it came across?
Man, I loved it. And for me to love it, I just think because I was there. I was there during that whole MJ's whole process. But I loved it, and I think maybe that I was even more enthralled as I look back. And you know, I told MJ the other day, I said, "Man, I think it's so good. I think it's so good for the world, for our young people to see just what does it take?" And I was discussing with a friend this morning, and I've seen so many comments, and even MJ had said, "Well, I don't know if people will view me the same after they see this." And then I see other comments about, "Well, he was this bully. He was a bully. Yeah, it was great, but he was a bully." And it hit me this morning. Maybe God had it right when he put apex predators on the planet, because they keep everything in harmony. You know, people say they're bad, but they're there to keep everything in harmony so that plants bloom, trees grow. And, I mean, and MJ, if you really look at it, he was that. He was relentless, but isn't that what made this country amazing?
Yeah, those who stand out in whatever field it is that they choose, and he certainly was that. But and it was fascinating seeing you in the documentary early when they were talking about him going from college to the NBA. And the idea, okay, we got to get a shoe for him. When he made that first visit to the Nike campus, did you have any idea? Certainly 35 years later, we'd be talking about how Air Jordan is still such a big brand. And as you said in the documentary, it had a great ring to it. But did you just see him as another athlete that was coming in here? Yeah, this will do well, but or did you have a vision? This is going to be huge.
No. I went to the University of Maryland, played ball there, coached there, and I knew, Lenny Bias, all those guys, I was still going over there. And so he was in the ACC, and you saw him. You saw him in the Olympics. And when he came out, it was him, David Falk, his agent, mom and pop, and where we there was Sonny Vaccaro was there. Sonny just, "Hey, make sure, hey, that's the guy." Rob Strasser was the vice president at that time of marketing. And I mean, nobody knows, and it's not a crime not to know. Maybe the crime is as you see it developing and blooming, not to recognize it. Because when you plant a seed, no, hell, you don't know what the crop's going to be. You plant the seed. And it's up to you whether you water it, fertilize it every day, and believe in that seed. And one day, if you keep doing that, that seed might feed your entire family. And so I think when we all saw MJ, no one knew. And then, I was 45 minutes late to the meeting. One of the guys had said, "Hey, I'll get you back in time. You know, don't worry, but let's go down and get this hamburger from this place called Helvetia Tavern. And I'm like, okay, all right. We got this meeting. Oh, yeah, you'll be back. You'll be back. Now, plenty of time, not to worry. Of course, now that didn't happen. So it's three people of color in the whole meeting. Well, four. It's three people, Michael, his mama, and his daddy, and me. And I walk in 45 minutes late, which Michael still kids me about. But sometimes the universe knows better how things should unfold than even we do. And we all know the story that Michael didn't really even want to be. Michael did not want to be with Nike. Just flat out plain didn't want to do it. And he was not coming out to that meeting. It just so happened that David Falk, his agent, and Strasser, the president of marketing, the vice president of marketing at that time, they had this relationship. Michael wasn't coming. He had just finished the Olympics, the hard season. I'm sure he was too tired. He told David, hey, look, I'm not going to the meeting. Forget about it. Just get me a deal with Adidas. I don't care nothing about no Nike. Just get me a deal with Adidas. David was like, well, you got to go. He said, no, I'm not going. Just get me a deal with Adidas. He called his mother. Now, maybe this is a reminder for all the mothers out there to stand strong in your beliefs. And his mother said, he will be on that plane. And when this whole thing was over, they had did this great video, which was, this was, like David said, this was new ground at that time. We had done this video of Michael dunking and jumping, and it was to like the Point Assisted Jump, Van Halen, some other. I mean, it was a really inspiring video about possibility. And Robbie couldn't get the thing to work. You know, he frustrated as hell. He couldn't get it to work. But it all did come together. And so he went from, I don't even want to visit that place, to some place that's the only place. Now,
yeah, it's an incredible story.
Well, just look through history. And people forget history sometimes. Michelangelo did not want to do the 16th chapel. Didn't want to do it. He was busy doing like some other thing where they bury a crypt. That's what he was doing. And so with the Pope kept after him. So
he's a graffiti guy, I think.
Yeah, he said, hell, that's not my thing. So the Pope finally got him and said, no, you will do this. He said, but I'm not a painter. The 16th Chapel is there today. Michael Jordan, I don't want to be at this, whatever that place is, Nike. And you have
Brandon, look where it is today.
I mean, it's incredible. These stories are incredible. So when we came along, I remember it was Mr. Knight. Michael had retired, and we were still doing some things. And a group of us had gotten together, and I told Mr. Knight, I said, this should be a brand. And he looked at me, and he said, what did you say? I said, well, I think this should be a brand. He said, this should be a brand. I said, yeah, no question in my mind. He said, well, let's just go over a couple of things here. He said, first of all, the way we usually sell shoes is we find an athlete, check. We build shoes, check. We put them on that athlete, check. And then we sell them. I said, okay, I'm with that. He said, now, let's go through the equation here again, because maybe you misunderstood. He's retired. He's not even playing. So there goes Bill Shoes, put him on the athlete. He wears them on the carpet, and we sell them. So that theory is out the window. I said, yeah, you're so right. And I said, I know, Mr. Knight, I called him Buck. I said, Buck, it just so happened I was out in front of the campus just the other day. And I saw this car pull up to the stoplight, and it stopped. And I looked at it, and the logo had Mercedes-Benz on it. And then the light turned green, and the car pulled away. And he said, and what does any of that have to do with what we're talking about? I said, it took me a while, but it just dawned on me that Mr. Mercedes has been dead for a long time. So I don't know how that could happen. Point well taken. And when we talked about it, I said, you know, this is a person that the greats, and I work with a lot of the great athletes, Prime, Deion Sanders, and Prime was right there. But all of these great athletes, the top baseballers, Barry Bonds and all, they put Michael in another category. He was something special to these amazing athletes who, if you know anything about greatness and athletes, their egos, and that's how they become who they are. They ain't put nobody ahead of them, but this person they plucked out. And so I felt in a lot of us that what he had to offer the world was far bigger than just basketball Shoes.
You know, Howard White, when you played college ball at Maryland, I'm looking at a picture of your uniform, and on the back it just says H. That's how cool you were. So that's awesome that they didn't put the full name, just H, your nickname, on the back of the jersey. You and your prime, MJ and his prime, who wins a one-on-one game to 21?
Oh, I beat him to death when he was about 10 years old. You know, probably when he's about 10 years old, I destroy him. In reality, you know, I remember I was hurt at the time, and it was the first time that we had faced NC State. I think it was like maybe it was the game before, like the Super Bowl, and we were facing NC State, and I was hurt. So I wanted to just really sit there and see how good, or how good, well, hell, could he jump higher than you could? Was David this? David Thompson was amazing. Yeah. And when I see what MJ, now, see, here's the thing that separated Michael that very few people even think about. They see all of the other things like his athleticism, his relentless drive, but the knowledge, his ability to keep learning. If you saw, if anybody watched and they saw his progression as he got older, how he went to the fade back jump shot, didn't go to the hole as much. How his thought process was so far ahead of just about everybody. Yep. He saw the game. You know, I remember after some of the most difficult games against Bird or Magic that he didn't win, and we would be in the car, and he would say, man, that was a great game. Man, that was a great game. I just hate losing it. And when you want to talk about visioning, I wrote a book called You to Achieve, See the Impossible and Do the Invisible. We were going, he was playing Indiana. This was their climb to that sixth championship. And when we were at the house earlier that day, I walked out, and on the back of one of the cars, he simply had MJ5. And, you know, we were in the car, and I was like, we were going down to the arena, and I said, MJ5. I said, what is that? We didn't say anything for a while, and we drove for about 10 minutes. And he said, ooh, it's MJ5 championships. I said, oh, man, I should have known. And he said, and MJ6 is already on order.
And he was right.
Well.
The man who helped, what's that?
Without question, it's you vision. When I played, I know you all got to go, but when I couldn't play basketball, I walked into a gym, me and a couple of friends, and I couldn't play basketball. My dad had left us. We had nowhere to go, so we had to live with my aunt in the woods. On the other side of the woods, this was at the beginning of integration, my friends came by and said, hey, they let you play basketball in that new gym down the street. So we went a couple of miles. We went in and we walked in. There were no kids in that whole gym. There were three white men down the other end of the court. I said, we better leave because we don't belong here. And as we're leaving, this man says, hey, you boys, you want to play a game? And I look at him. I say, hey, they old people. You can beat old people. And so we say, yeah, we'll play. And as we were playing, they changed the rules from anything I knew. Wherever I got the ball when I played basketball, I could shoot it. Wherever you got it, you could shoot it. You got the ball on the basket, you could shoot the ball. People changed the rules, so you had to take the ball back behind this line every time it changed hands. Hell, it beat us to death. And as I'm leaving, I stop to get some water, and this man walks up. He introduces himself. He says, hi, son. My name is Jim Hathaway. I'm the coach at Kickatan High School. I was in the eighth grade at the time. I said, hi. And he said, have you ever heard of the big old Oscar Robertson? And that's like asking, hell, some kid, you ever heard of LeBron James, Michael Jordan? Of course. He said one thing. He said, if you listen to everything I tell you, you could be just like the big O. Man, he was lying. Hell, I couldn't even play basketball.
Well, you're the big H, though. You did it.
Exactly. I listened to him. I cut down trees. I made a hoop. That man taught me everything about the game of basketball. When I got to college, I became the MVP.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Sorry, Howard, but commercial time tells us we've got to go. We enjoyed the visit. We enjoyed the last dance.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you. That's the man who helped Air Jordan take flight. That is Howard White, VP of Jordan Branding. Air Jordan Branding. All right, we'll say hi to Norm and Donnie next.